more to go. Thinking I'd speak about a few things. The one of the main verses that we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, identifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's see amongst the kids, if any of you kids know Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna. Do you know that verse? Sango Pangastra Parashadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajanti Hisumedasa. Don't know the verse. You've heard it before, right? Okay, let's go through the verse. See if we can memorize it by the end of the evening. Or the next 5 minutes, maybe. Krishna Varnam. We discussed this on Saturday night. Krishna Varnam. What does Varna mean? Like, Varna, what is your Varna? It's the way the Prabhupada, it means number of things, but the way the Prabhupada has translated it is Krishna Varnam means he's in the category of Krishna. While he's in the category of Krishna, he's not different than Krishna. Lord Chaitanya's Krishna Varnam, he's Tvisha Krishna. He's not blackish, like Krishna is blackish. He's golden. That's not blackish. Black and gold go well together, but they're not the same. Tvisha Krishna. Sango, what does Sangha mean?
Association.
Sango. Sangastra Parshadam, when he appears with his associates, with his astras, with his weapons. Astra means weapons, right? Like Krishna has his chakra, it's one of his astras, and his gada, his club, what's one of his weapons. And the brahmanas, they have their astras, like the Brahma astra, most invincible weapon. So all those are different weapons. That's another weapon. Keeps all sannyasis away. So whenever Krishna appears, Prabhupada has explained this. When we say Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, it doesn't mean that Krishna came alone. Any more than if we say, the king is coming, the king is coming. He comes down the street alone. Is that likely to happen? No. I remember when Bill Clinton was going to visit the UN. I mean, it was such a big deal. Bill Clinton's going to visit the UN. But they had police cars all over the place. You know, like, you knew exactly the route that he was going to travel, because that's where all the police cars were. Anyway, he doesn't travel alone. The VIP, if you've got Bill Clinton, doesn't travel alone, then certainly God doesn't travel alone. So So when Krishna appears, he appears with his whole, all of his associates and the whole spiritual world and the river Jamuna and Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Dham and all the devotees that are his eternal associates. They come with him. They wouldn't want to be anywhere without him. And he wouldn't want to be anywhere without them. So they come with him. So when Lord Chaitanya comes, he comes also with his, all of his associates. His intimate, perfected devotees. They're assisting him in his pastimes, and his pastime is also delivering others to the platform of devotional service or love of God on the highest platform of devotional service. So they're very happy to assist him doing that, or whatever he wants to do. But that's what he wants to do, so they assist him doing that. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar. Yagya means?
Sacrifice.
Yagyai Sankirtana. We all know what Sankirtana is. Boy, do we know what Sankirtana is. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar. Yajanti. Yaja means worship. Yajanti he. He is for emphasis. Certainly, su medasaha, medasaha, medha, intelligence, su medha, especially intelligent, very intelligent, su medasaha, those who are intelligent in this age of Kali, that's not too many intelligent people in the age of Kali, but those who are intelligent in the age of Kali, they take this congregational chanting of the holy name, following Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, Krishna Varnam, Tusha Krishna, although he's not blackish, and who appears with all of his associates and astras, his weapons, and his whole entourage, the whole spiritual abode comes with him. So when we're speaking about Lord Chaitanya, because I was requested to speak about Lord Chaitanya, I thought I would speak about the fact that speaking about Lord Chaitanya means speaking about his associates. Because his associates are inextricably with him. Just like in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when you know the six questions, six answers from the first chapter, the six questions, and then the second and third chapter, the six answers. So one of the questions, one of the six questions is, same thing that Shukadeva Goswami is asked by Maharaj Parikshit at the end of the first canto. What is that subject matter that one should constantly hear and chant and always remember? Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Ichato Bhayam. It takes one beyond the stage of fear into the realm of fearlessness. Like absolute fearlessness, like Prahlad Maharaj, who was absolutely fearless. Absolutely fearless. This terrible demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, was terrorizing, he's the original terrorist, terrorizing the whole universe. Everyone was so afraid of him. But Prahlad was not at all afraid of him. He didn't even know what fear was. It was foreign to him. And that just infuriated Radhikashipu so much. He tried this way, that way, the other way to destroy Prahlad, and nothing worked. I'm so powerful, and I can't harm you at all. Oh! Just made him more angry. Didn't get the message at all. You can't harm Prahlad. So, in the first canto, the question, what is that subject matter that one should hear, chant, and always remember? It's topics about Krishna. So, when the sages, having heard this wonderful understanding, not that it was new to them, but confirmed by Sutta Goswami, the best thing is to hear about Krishna. So we want to hear about Krishna. Tell us about Krishna. And he immediately begins speaking about the Pandavas. And the whole chapter is not, Krishna's name is not mentioned once. It's all about the Pandavas. So Prabhupada writes, why did Sutta Goswami speak about the Pandavas? And the answer is, because that's also Krishna Katha. So it's also Gaura Katha to speak about the associates of Lord Chaitanya. And those who he engaged in devotional service, who also became associates of Lord Chaitanya. There were his eternal associates, and there were the others who weren't his eternal associates, but through his association he brought them into the realm of devotional service. And this was his pastime and his mercy. So I wanted to describe a section from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Well, first I'll say something about the relationship between Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada chose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even before he translated Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had his mission. He was going to translate all 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam. But he would regularly take a break from the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam and translate other things. One of those early things that he translated was teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are five principal discussions in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is giving his teachings, or the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One is where he's instructing Prakashananda Saraswati. It's in Adi Lila, chapter 7. That's one of them. A sannyasi. It was such an important section of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada had that one chapter printed as a hard cover book, printed as a soft cover book, and widely distributed, because he wanted his devotees and the world to hear what is the distinction between personalism and impersonalism. What, in a conversation between the numero uno impersonalist and the numero uno personalist. Prakashananda Saraswati was a sannyasi that had thousands of sannyas disciples. All of them were impersonalists. So he was strong impersonalist. And they had a dialogue. Very interesting and very important dialogue. And the commentary is also very important. So, Lord Chaitanya's talk with Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya's discussion later with Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, and what is Vedanta Sutra, and the Atma Atmaram verse from the Bhagavatam, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, his talks with Ramananda Roy on Rasa, a very elevated discussion, and his talks with Sanatan and Rupa Goswami. That's teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada chose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita instead of Chaitanya Bhagavat because it's vastly comprehensive. But the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, like the other Vaishnavas of his time, they regarded the prior Chaitanya Bhagavat, the author Vrindavan Das Thakur, as the Vyasadeva of Gaura's Leela. Because during Krishna's pastimes, who was the person who wrote about his life? Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva compiled the life story of Krishna in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, or the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as Vyasadeva was to Krishna, so Vrindavan Das was considered to be the Vyasa of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But Vrindavan Das Thakur, he primarily resided in Navadvip. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he heard something about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but he knew everything about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Navadvip. So that biography, or this description of Lord Chaitanya's life, has three sections, the beginning, middle, and the end of the book. So Adikanda and Madhyakanda and Antyakanda. Up to Lord Chaitanya's taking initiation from Ishwarapuri, his childhood pastimes. Then after his initiation, then up to the time he took sannyas. And then from the time he took sannyas, the rest, the concluding portion of Lord Chaitanya's life. Whereas Chaitanya Charitamrita is divided differently. So, the main point I want to make is that Vrindavan Das, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we don't hear so much about Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes because they were already described in Chaitanya Bhagavat in detail. And out of respect for Vrindavan Das, the later biographer, Krishna Das, Kaviraj, didn't duplicate. What he says is, I'll simply present in codes, like little sutras, little terse statements about the childhood pastimes. And it's covered in less than half a chapter. The childhood pastimes that are, but where Vrindavan Das did not cover, that he explains in some detail. And then further and further, more detail and more detail, and certainly the pastimes outside of Navadvip, after Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip and went to Puri, details and details and details and details, so many, particularly compared to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So from the time that Lord Chaitanya, we discussed yesterday, wow, it seems like longer ago than yesterday. We discussed yesterday about how Lord Chaitanya became a devotee. It was through the association of Ishwarapuri, and then he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And from that time, when he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he was exhibiting pastimes of ecstatic, like immediately. And it went deeper and deeper and deeper, symptoms of ecstatic love of God. But going back to when, before he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, in that section of Chaitanya Bhagavat, I wanted to describe both how Lord Chaitanya, before he became an initiated devotee, before he was exhibiting his devotee pastimes, he was still exhibiting his scholarly pastimes, where it was just argument and debate and wrangling and challenging people and being boastful and proud, and that spirit of his lila. At the same time he was doing like that, he was engaging people in devotional service, because he's the personality of Godhead. So there's a whole chapter dedicated to describing the early portion of Lord Chaitanya's life when he was married and a teacher, a school teacher. As a young Brahmin boy, he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students because he was so expert at teaching. So it's described he would perform his teaching in the morning. Then he would go back to his home, and his wife, Vishnu Priya, but then it was Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya would offer him his meal. He would perform the pastime of yoga nidra. Lakshmi Priya would massage his legs and his feet as he would perform the pastime of resting. Then he would awake, take his books, and then go and complete his teaching for the afternoon. And then, where I'd like to read, because it's so beautifully presented, where he would go into the marketplace. So this is like, you know, after school. He's the teacher going into the marketplace after school. And he's performing a pastime consistently, you know, with each of the shopkeepers, where he's asking to see some of their goods, asks for the price for their goods, and then different exchanges where he says, I don't have any money. And then they just give it to him. Or they say, you can give whatever you like whenever you like. You know, shopkeepers don't do that. Not anywhere. But they did with Mahaprabhu. And he was, in this way, he was engaging them in devotional service. They were seeing that, in, at least, that here comes a young Brahmin. But they weren't always seeing like that. Sometimes it was very playful. You'll see, it's very, the style of Vrindavan Das Thakur's writing is so charming. Just like, melts your heart. One day, Nimai went to the house of a weaver, not to the shop, but he went to the house of a weaver. And the weaver respectfully offered him his obeisances. Nimai said, bring one piece of cloth. And the weaver immediately brought some cloth. Nimai then asked, what is the price of this cloth? The weaver replied, give me whatever you like. After setting the price, the Lord said, I don't have any money right now. Most shopkeepers would say something different than what this shopkeeper said. The weaver then said, oh Gosai, you can give me in 10 or 15 days. You can take the cloth and happily wear it. You can pay me whenever you please. After mercifully glancing at the weaver, Nimai continued on to the house of a cowherd. Now think of Krishna's entering Mathura and visiting the different shops. It's the mood is similar, the setting is different. Nimai sat down on his veranda and began to make fun of the activities of the brahmanas. As a brahmana, he's making fun of the activities of the brahmanas. He said, oh son, bring me some milk and yogurt. Today I am going to accept charity from your house. So he's making fun of the brahmanas by making fun of himself. The Cowherd boys thought Nimai looked just like Cupid. They respectfully offered him an asana. They began to joke with him and addressed him as uncle. One of them said, "Come, uncle, let us go eat some rice." Then one of them took Nimai on his shoulder and carried him to his house. Another said, "Don't you remember how you previously ate all the rice in my house?" Although the Cowherd boys didn't realize it, by the grace of the transcendental goddess of learning, Saraswati, whatever they spoke was true. Meanwhile, Nimai simply smiled at their words. As the Cowherd boys then happily offered Nimai some milk, ghee, yogurt, cream, and butter. After being satisfied by all the gopas, Nimai went to the house of a perfume merchant. The merchant offered Nimai his respectful obeisances, and Nimai said, "Oh brother, bring me some of your best perfume." The perfume merchant immediately brought some of his best perfume, and the son of Sachi inquired, "What is the price?" The merchant replied, "You know, my dear sir, is it befitting for me to take money from you? Today, you apply this oil and go home. If after taking bath tomorrow the fragrance still remains, then you may pay me whatever you like." After saying this, the merchant happily applied the perfume on the body of the Lord. The Lord is the supersoul of all living entities, therefore he attracts the mind of all. Who is not attracted by seeing his beautiful form? Vishvambar bestowed his mercy on the merchant and then continued to the house of a florist. When the florist saw Nimai's most wonderful form, he offered him obeisances and a place to sit. Nimai said, "Oh, florist, I would like a nice garland, but I have no money with me." Appreciating that Nimai had the symptoms of a spiritually perfect soul, the florist said, "You don't need to pay." After saying this, the florist garlanded the Lord, who smiled in the company of his students. After casting his merciful glance on the florist, Gauranga went to the house of a betel nut merchant. The merchant saw Nimai's form as more enchanting than that of Cupid. He took dust from Nimai's feet and offered him a place to sit. The merchant said, "It is my great fortune that you have come to my house, insignificant as I am, in full satisfaction and without being asked." The merchant then offered betel nut to the Lord, who smiled. The Lord then said, "Why did you give me betel without payment?" The merchant said, "I was inspired to." The Lord smiled on hearing the merchant's reply, and he chewed the betel nut with great satisfaction. The merchant then devotedly offered Nimai some pan, camphor, and other spices, free of cost. After blessing the merchant, Nimai smiled as he continued wandering the streets of Navadvipa. The city of Navadvipa was just like Mathura. Millions of people belonging to different castes lived there. For the pleasure of the Lord, the Creator had previously supplied Navadvipa with all opulences. He's given the opulences, now he's receiving in charity as a Brahmana. Sri Sachi Nandana now enjoyed the same pastime that Krishna had previously enjoyed while wandering the streets of Mathura. Thereafter, Nimai visited the house of a conch merchant who offered the Lord due respect. Nimai said, "Dear brother, let me see some beautiful conches. But alas, how will I take it? I have no money." Just then the merchant placed a beautiful conch in Nimai's hand and offered him obeisances. The merchant said, "Oh, Gosai, take this conch home with you. You may pay me later on or not. It doesn't matter." I remind you, merchants don't say that. Pleased by the words of the conch merchant, the Lord glanced mercifully on him and departed. For this reason, even today, the residents of Navadvipa attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The supremely independent Lord Gaurachandra then went to the house of an astrologer. This is really nice. As the astrologer saw the effulgence of the Lord, he humbly offered obeisances. The Lord then asked him, "I have heard that you are a good astrologer. Could you please tell me who I was in my previous birth?" The pious astrologer agreed to the Lord's request and began to chant the Gopal mantra within his mind. At that moment, the astrologer saw a beautiful blackish personality with four hands holding the conch, disc, club, and lotus flower. His chest was decorated with a Srivatsa and the brilliantly effulgent Kastuba gem. He saw the Lord in the prison cell, being offered prayers by his parents in the dead of night. He then saw Vasudev carry the Lord that night to Gokul. The astrologer again saw the Lord as an enchanting two-armed naked child with a string of small bells around his waist and butter in his two hands. The astrologer saw his worshipable Lord decorated with all the symptoms that he had meditated on. He then again saw the threefold bending form of the Lord playing on his flute and surrounded on all sides by the gopis who were singing and playing various musical instruments. After seeing this wonderful vision, the astrologer opened his eyes and saw Gauranga standing before him. Then again, he entered into meditation. The astrologer said, "Oh, Bal Gopal, please listen. Quickly show me who was this Brahmana." The astrologer then saw the Lord with greenish Durvasa grass complexion, holding his bow in his hand and sitting on a royal throne. Thereafter he saw the Lord in the middle of the waters of devastation. He had the wonderful form of a boar, and he held the earth on his tusks. He then saw the Lord as Nrisinga. Although he appeared most ferocious, he was the ultimate well-wisher of his devotees. Then he saw the form of Vamana, waiting to deceive Bali at his sacrifice. Then he saw the form of Matsya, happily sporting in the waters of devastation. The pious astrologer then saw the intoxicated form of Balaram, holding a plow and club in his hands. He next saw the form of Jagannath, with Balaram at his right and Subhadra in between. In this way, the astrologer saw the Lord's various incarnations, but due to the Lord's illusory energy, he was unable to ascertain the meaning of what he had seen. The astrologer was struck with wonder and thought, "I think this Brahmana is expert in the chanting of mantras. Otherwise, he may be a demigod who has come disguised as a Brahmana to test me. I see a supernatural effulgence emanating from the body of this Brahmana. Perhaps he has come to discredit me as an astrologer." The Lord smiled and asked the astrologer, "Who am I? What did you see? Tell me in detail everything." The astrologer said, "You please go home for now. I will tell you everything in the afternoon after I have peacefully chanted my mantra." Smiling, the Lord agreed to the astrologer's request and went to the house of his dear devotee, Sridhar. So these other persons, they're persons that Lord Chaitanya is engaging in devotional service unknowingly and very, very mercifully. Sridhar, on the other hand, is one of his eternal associates and is so dear to Lord Chaitanya that every day Lord Chaitanya would go to his home and give his association and spend much time engaging in conversation with Sridhar, but a very unique kind of conversation you'll hear. Continuing, Sridhar was very dear to the Lord's heart, and the Lord would therefore visit him on various pretexts. The Lord would tease Sridhar in the course of the regular conversations, which would last for an hour or two. When Sridhar saw that Nimai had arrived, he offered him obeisances and a place to sit. Sridhar was always peaceful in his behavior, while Nimai enjoyed the role of an agitated young man. Nimai said, "Sridhar, you always chant the name of Hari. So why are you always afflicted by poverty? Can you please tell me why, after serving the beloved Lord of Lakshmi, you do not get sufficient food and clothes?" Sridhar replied, "I'm not in the least starving. And whether small or large, I'm still wearing some cloth." The Lord said, "But I see your cloth is mended in 10 places, and the roof over your cottage has no straw. Look at other people. They worship Chandi or Vishahari, and they have no scarcity of food or cloth." Sridhar then replied, "O Brahmana, what you say is indeed correct. Yet the time passes equally for everyone. The king has jewels in his house, and he eats opulent food. Meanwhile, the birds live in trees. Yet time passes equally for everyone, as they enjoy the fruits of their previous activities by the will of the Lord." The Lord then said, "You have great wealth that you are secretly enjoying. I will soon disclose this to everyone. Then how will you cheat us?" Without saying his great wealth is his wealth of devotion. But he's not saying great wealth of devotion. He's saying, "You're deceiving us. You're actually a very wealthy person. You're just hiding your wealth." The Lord then said, "You do have great wealth that you are secretly enjoying." Whoops, I read that, sorry. The Lord, as Sridhar said, "Oh, Pandit, please go home now. It is not proper for us to argue." The Lord said, "I am not going to leave you so easily. First tell me what you'll give me." Sridhar said, "I maintain myself by selling leaf cups. So tell me, what can I give you, Gosai?" The Lord said, "Let your hidden treasure remain for now. I'll take that later. For now, give me some bananas, banana flowers, and banana stalks, free of charge. Then I won't argue with you." Sridhar thought, "This Brahmana is very aggressive. I'm afraid that one day he will beat me. But even if he beats me, what can I do to a Brahmana? At the same time, I can't supply him free of charge every day. Anyway, whatever this Brahmana takes by force or deceit, that is my good fortune. So I'll continue to give him every day." After thinking this way, Sridhar said, "Listen, Gosai, don't worry about money. I'll happily give you some bananas, banana flowers, leaf cups, banana stalks, but please, don't fight with me." The Lord said, "Good, then I won't fight anymore. But see that I get good quality bananas and banana stalks." The Lord daily used to use Shritar's leaf cups as he ate sabjis made of Shritar's plantains, banana flowers, and banana stalks. Whenever a squash grew on the roof of Shridhar's cottage, the roof that had no roof, had no straw, the Lord would eat it, cooked with milk and black pepper. The Lord then said, "Tell me, Shridhar, what do you think of me? After you answer this, I'll go home." Shridhar replied, "You are a Brahmana, a portion of Lord Vishnu." The Lord said, "You don't know who I am. Actually, I'm from a Gopa family. Although you see me as the son of a Brahmana, I consider myself a cowherd boy." Shritar smiled at the Lord's words, but he could not recognize him due to the Lord's illusory energy. The Lord then said, "Shritar, let me tell you the truth. The glories of your Ganges are due to me." Shritar replied, "Nimai, Pandit, aren't you afraid of insulting the Ganges in this way? One is supposed to become sober when he grows up, but I see that you're restless. Your restlessness has doubled." After joking with Shritar in this way for an hour or two, Lord Gauranga returned to his home. This is an unusual kind of exchange with one who is very dear. Imagine if somebody interacted with you like that every day for an hour or two, seemingly taunting and teasing and pulling your leg and making fun and asking you why you're so poor. And during the Mahaprakash Leela, this is a pastime where Lord Chaitanya, much later in his pastime as a devotee, he was showing all the devotee community his identity as Lord Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sat on the throne of Vishnu. He sat on the altar. The deities were moved, and he sat on the throne where the deities sit. And said, "Worship me. Bring water and perform Abhishek." So they all ran to the Ganges and with clay pots and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pots of water and gave him vast Abhishek. Now he said, "Dress me in fine cloth. Put on the best garlands and the best ornaments. Now worship me with arti. Have tumultuous kirtan and worship me with arti." He was in the mood of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then by one, he would call the devotees forward and indicate to the devotees something so very private and intimate about their life that they then knew that he was omniscient. One by one, he brought Murari Gupta forward and told him, "You are actually Hanuman," and showed his form of Ram. Murari Gupta fell to the ground in ecstasy of love of God, trying to remember which devotee. There was a devotee who Lord Chaitanya called him forward and told the devotee, "Do you remember before I was born that there was word that the invasion of soldiers was coming and they were crossing the Ganga and you were terribly afraid. You had two younger daughters, and your two younger daughters might be violated by the ruthless army members. So you went to the Ganga, to cross the Ganga, and there was no boat. And then suddenly a boat appeared and took you safely across the river. Do you remember? I was that boatman. I came to rescue you and your family. Before I even appeared in Navadvip, do you remember? He was remembering, and he realized, because he hadn't told anybody this whole incident. And miraculously, a boat appeared with a boatman and carried him across the river. One after one, he brought forward and revealed intimate things about them and showed and told who they are and their eternal spiritual identity. When it came to Sridhar, he was not present. Those of you that have been to Mayapur, you know where Shiva's Anga is and where the Jagannath temple is. Some distance, yes? And there were no street lights. This was in the dead of night. Said, go find Sridhar and bring him here at once. And don't worry about not being able to find his residence. Just listen. It's the dead of night, but you can hear him chanting from miles away. He's calling the names of the holy names of the Lord very loudly. Just follow the sound and you'll find Sridhar. And they found Sridhar in his little cottage. His cottage was in a grove of banana trees. So he would climb up the banana trees and take the leaves of banana trees and the flowers of the bananas and the bananas and make leaf plates and leaf cups and banana flowers. And, you know, it's something, what can you sell them for? Because you have bananas all over the place in Mayapur. But just, you know, the trouble of climbing up the tree and getting them and then bringing them down. So what could he sell them for? They were so inexpensive. But his practice was, and he would sit by the side of the road like a vendor and have his wares in front of him. And whenever people would come, they would pay something, and he would, with that something that he received, half of the money that he received, he would used for worship of the Ganges. That's like half of almost nothing would be the worship of the Ganges, and the other half was what would maintain him. But he was so devoted to Lord Chaitanya that whatever Lord Chaitanya came, he just gave him things. And the pumpkins that would grow on the roof of his house, he would give them to Lord Chaitanya to cook. So when they wanted Sridhar to come before Lord Chaitanya, he didn't want to come. He was so humble, thinking, what can I do? I shouldn't go into the assembly of Brahmanas. I'm this lowly Vaishya personality. Oh, he wants you to come. You must come. Come at once. So they brought him before Lord Chaitanya. And he immediately paid his obeisances before Lord Chaitanya, sitting on the deity's throne, saying, Sridhar, take a benediction from me. Anything that you like. And Sridhar was saying, I don't want anything, my lord. I'm perfectly satisfied. Sridhar, take all the riches of a king. I want to give them to you. Please take them. No, I have no interest in riches of a king. Take liberation. No, I don't have any interest in. Take residence in the heavenly planet. Become one of the devatas yourself. Sridhar, take it. No, I don't have any interest. I'm very happy. Well, just say one thing that you want, and it's yours. And Sridhar said, whatever pleases you, that's what I want. And if it pleases you that you come and you taunt and you tease and you take things from me, and if that makes you happy, let me do that lifetime after lifetime. Just whatever it is that pleases you. That's all I wish. That's my happiness. Your happiness is my happiness. That's all I want. Mahaprabhu said, just see this Sridhar. How pure is his heart? He wanted to show to all the devotees the quality of Kolavechar Sridhar. And what was his asset? His garments were mended in 10 places. There were so many holes, there's more holes than there were clothes in his clothes. He was so poor. But he didn't consider himself poor. He considered himself as the bearer of whatever his karma provided. The king lives in a palace with jewels, and the bird lives in a tree, and I have what I have. He wasn't hankering for something he doesn't have. He was content just to do some service to the Lord and his devotees. Completely content. And Mahaprabhu would test him and prod him to see if he could make him angry, and he couldn't make him angry. Never retaliating, or just like, don't make me argue with you, it's not proper, you're a Brahmin. Whatever you want, just don't argue. Happy just to serve. A lila that's not described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, is after the civil disobedience march to the house of Chankazi, and after Chankazi surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and accepted that the chanting of the holy name should be heard in every throughout this the streets of Navadvip without any restriction for all generations to come, those who are my followers, my sons and descendants, the chanting of the holy name should never be restricted. After that, it was at the all day long kirtan, Mahaprabhu was thirsty, so he went to the house of Sridhar again in the dead of night. And when he went to Sridhar's home, little cottage, he asked Sridhar, bring me some water, I'm thirsty. Because he hadn't visited him that day, he had to see Sridhar. Bring me some water, I'm thirsty. He said, I don't have any water. All I have is this old iron pot. The old iron pot, like, you know, for us it really doesn't, there's not like something comparable. But you know, some, it was something discarded, like, you know, a remnant that someone just tossed to the side because it's useless, and he mended it in so many places and kept it by the side of his door. Because he was so poor, he didn't have anything. That's what he used for everything, for bathing, for drinking, for after taking care of the call of nature, he would use the same pot for all things. For a brahmana, that's, you don't do that. But he was so poor, that's all he had. This old, beat up, mended iron pot. Mahaprabhu saw it lying there, and immediately grabbed the pot and started drinking from the pot, and Sridhar ran from the house and grabbed his arm and said, no, please, this will be a great offense, please don't drink. And Mahaprabhu said, this is the nicest nectar I've ever had. Because he was so pleased with the devotion of Sridhar. Very, very similar to Sudama, Brahmin. When the broken pieces of chipped rice in this little bag that he had, little cloth tied up in a knot, and Krishna snatched it from him and began eating. And Rukmini was stopping him. Don't take more. Don't take this. It's not fit for you. But he was so pleased with the devotion of Sudama. Krishna was so happy. And same, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy with Sridhar. So what is it, as small and insignificant and like, you know, nothing, nobody, person, who are we to say that we can please the personality of Godhead? What pleases the personality of Godhead? It's not birth or knowledge or some opulence of some kind, just as Vrindavan Das was describing right in the verses, that the Lord in his appearance had decorated Navadvip with opulences. So whatever it was that he was accepting from the merchants was his own opulences. But it was the exchange of love. And depending upon the exchange of love, he was pleased. So if one voluntarily, whatever it is that one has, one can offer that with love to Lord Chaitanya and his service and somehow please him. Whatever that may consist of. Someone may have this opulence, someone may have that opulence. Someone may have wealth, someone may not have wealth. Someone may have learning, someone may not have learning. Someone may have this, and someone may not have this. Lord Chaitanya wasn't considering, out of all the merchants, what did Kulavichar Sridhar have? Next to nothing. Something you can find on the side of the road easily. But he went to see him daily because of his quality of love and purity and simplicity, free from false ego, simply offering whatever he could to the Lord's service in a most humble mood. This was so pleasing to Lord Chaitanya that he considered him to be an intimate personal associate. And one can be sure, by Sridhar's association, others also became purified, just by being in his presence. And in this way, so many associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enhanced his happiness and also served as instruments for the Lord to bring others also to the position of transcendental devotional service. This is the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, as appearing with his associates and bringing Krishna consciousness or bringing devotional service into the lives of others, and relishing wonderful loving exchanges with those who become his associates or are his eternal associates. And this is that one of the miracles, or say mysteries, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. It's not just something that happened so many 500 years ago in West Bengal, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is something that's continuing literally today, where we can also, although we have no qualification, we can participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission. And the devotees that do so, whether it's Goan Harinam, hearing from Rupa Sanatan what a wonderful Harinam that was held on Gorpranima Day.
Saturday, the evening before.
Evening before. So many devotees chanting and dancing, and it's participating in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, or distributing books. So many wonderful experiences when the devotees distribute the knowledge of pure devotional service to others, or the festivals that we hold, or whatever little simple service one can do. Little simple service, something that anybody can do. Roll the puris, or serve the prasadam, or clean the floor, or what, it's all, if the mood is taken up in the mood of serving and pleasing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're brought into that same flow of mercy. I'll end with this. There's something in the in the description of Lord Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya appears, he appears with Lord Nityananda always. So through these two brothers, they're described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're like the sun and the moon being the reflection of the light of the sun, Lord Chaitanya being the sun, Lord Nityananda being the moon. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it's the most amazing miracle is that they both appeared simultaneously. We don't find where the sun rises and the moon rises at the same time. When the sun sets, after some time the moon may rise, but not the moon and the sun rising at the same time. What's most wonderful, when these two lords, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, appear. And the second most wonderful thing that's mentioned by Srup Damodar is that they give their benedictions to anyone and everyone. They give their benedictions to all with great joy and jubilation. And this is, and how this manifests is most wonderful. And so he then explains that how that's manifest is by their appearance, they manifest two forms of Bhagavatas, just like we find in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. You know that one? Say the whole verse. Say the part you can remember. Nashta prayeshu bhagavati bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtuki. Very good. So by serving the bhagavatas, it's plural, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all abhadras are nashta, they're destroyed. Inauspicious things in the heart are nashta, they're eliminated by bhagavata sevaya. So there's two types of bhagavatas, the book bhagavata and the person bhagavata. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that by the appearance of these two lords who appear simultaneously like the sun and the moon arising on the horizon at the same time, bringing joy and great happiness unto all, they bring that joy and happiness by manifesting the person Bhagavata and the book Bhagavata. That means, you know, the association of the great personalities who in our lives are carrying us, literally picking us up and carrying us to the spiritual realm. By their appearance, the great acharyas in our disciplic succession are manifesting and providing their association to the world and their teachings to the world and their uplifting benediction to the whole world. And their literature, the Bhagavata, the Prabhupada's work on the Srimad Bhagavatam, or other acharyas, their commentaries and translations on the Bhagavatam, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his appearance. So, Krishna Varnam, Tvisha Krishna, Sango Sangasta Parshada, Yagyai, Sankirtana Prayayar, Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. Very nice verse. 11th canto Bhagavatam, describing Lord Chaitanya and his appearance in this age of Kali, along with his associates, his weapons, and his whole, the whole spiritual realm, the whole spiritual abode, his dham, to bring love of God into the lives of others in this unfortunate age. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Any discussion? Comments or questions? Lal Gopal.
This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chetavarta. Hidden avatar, whereas some of the leelas seem to be very obviously showing the supremacy that he is Krishna, but Mahaprabhu, how could you understand it?
How can we not understand it? You saying it's a contradiction? During that Mahaprakash Leela, his intimate associates only were involved. The rest of the world was not involved. Later, through the Kadachas, the diary of Murari Gupta, these things became known. But during the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was unknown. Therefore, we're very fortunate. The people who were residents of Navadvipa at the time, they didn't know what we know today, although they were present. So many, very confidential and confidential, you know, hidden, Gupta, hidden topics were then later disclosed. But during Lord Chaitanya's manifest Leela, they were not. So by the mercy of particularly Murari Gupta, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Sarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, through very confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, gradually these things became known. But otherwise, he was a Brahmin scholar, and then later a sannyasi to the world.
Who is
Balavita
Sridhar in Krishna's pleasure?
I'll look it up. He's a cowherd boy, I believe. It's in Gauragonadesh Deepika. By Kavi Karnapur. The cowherd boy named Kusu Masava, who joked with Lord Krishna and made him laugh in Brajabhumi, appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as a learned brahmana named Kolavachar Sridhar, although he was a Vaishya. A learned brahmana named Kolavachar Sridhar. See what else? There's one other reference. Yeah, that's it. Kusamasava. Anything Yes?
Yes, if somebody were to just, not familiar with Krishna consciousness, and they ask the question of who is Chaitanya, what would be the best way to answer that? I've had people ask me that when I was trying to get people to come to board for the name.
These are American people?
Yes.
Okay. One simple, you have to keep it really simple.
Yes.
So, Lord Chaitanya is a divine personality who came to this world to establish the congregational chanting of God's holy name. In all the scriptures of the world, this is given some emphasis, and particularly within the Vedic scriptures, the importance of chanting the holy name in this age is mentioned again and again. So he came specifically to establish it. And through that chanting of the holy name, to purify the heart and awaken the dormant love of God that's within the heart of every living being. So he came to teach this universal, you could say, religion or universal way of all persons coming together under the banner of the holy name of the Lord and experiencing love of God. And he accepted, he interacted with and accepted as chanters of the holy name people from all different religions, literally. Buddhist, Muslim, Aborigine people, impersonalists, materialists, all different types of people. There are specific interactions where he gave his mercy and brought them to the states of love of God simply through chanting the holy name, and performed literally miracles in the course of his life. Yes.
Today the class was so interesting to listen to all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. I really enjoyed that. This is about Lord Krishna's pastime with Lord Sudama, which we always hear the stories of that cheap rice given from our childhood days. But with that too, we always hear that Rukmini goes and stops, as you said today. So I was trying to understand what is that, why we are here. I mean, every time whenever I hear this story, we also say that Lord Rukmini goes and stops like Krishna. So I was just kind of curious to...
The people in the back can't hear. She wants to know, why did Rukmini stop Krishna from taking the rice of Sudama? Yes? Well, externally, there was two reasons. Externally, because it was inferior rice, and she didn't want Krishna to take inferior rice. She wants Krishna to take only the finest quality rice. That's the external. The internal is, Krishna would become so indebted. He took once, he took twice. When he took thrice, then she checked. How will you repay? From the devotional perspective, not the what's the quality of the rice perspective. How will you repay Sridhar for this? It's like, because Rukmini is his internal potency. But like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he allowed Kalidas to take water from his feet 3 times, and he tried the 4th time, and Lord Chaitanya stopped him. Haven't you had enough? Like that. Is that right? Anyone else? Yes.
Who are Abacus people?
Aborigines. Aborigines. You know what Aborigines are, right? People that... Forest dwellers. Abhira. They're not... ordinarily considered very civilized. Like Magari is one such person. He lived in the forest and his livelihood was half killing animals. Like that. Anything else? Okay. It's a work day tomorrow, so I think we'll just end and take prasadam and off we go.